My name is Marion. It's so nice to see you and meet you today. I was hoping that I had some volunteers today. I would love to do some face painting. Do I have anybody that would like to have their face painted? Oh! I just need three. Just give me three. Just start. I just need three people to walk on up. I'm not going to pick. I am not good. Okay, that's great. Okay, awesome. I'll do as many as I can. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready? Come on. Okay, what would you like for me to paint on your face today? Anything in the world. Anything. A sun. That's a great one. Okay. Oh, this is a good one. Okay, nicely done. You can stand right over there. Okay, please show everybody my beautiful work. Okay, what would you like me to paint on your face? Jesus. Okay, not a problem. I got this covered. Oh my goodness. This is washable, by the way, for all parents who are worried. Oh my gosh. This is a beautiful picture of Jesus. Okay, you may turn around, show the world my work. You may stand right there, stand right there. Okay, what would you like? Face the world. Face the world, show them my work. Lily, look over, turn around, show everyone. What would you like on your face? How about a rainbow? Okay, we'll do a rainbow. Okay, all right, there you go. Okay, show the world my beautiful work, my rainbow on her face. Okay, what would you like? Okay, you want a rainbow too? We'll give you a rainbow, and a rainbow. There we go. Look at this. It's a beautiful rainbow. Okay, oh my goodness. All right, real fast. What would you like?
Can I have a kitty?
A kitty cat. Why not? Absolutely. I'm going to give you a kitty cat. There we go. There we go. And there we go. And what would you like on yours? A tiger. Arr. Make the sound of a tiger. Very nice. I'm going to give you a really big tiger. There we go. There we go. Oh, that is beautiful. Turn around. Show the world. Do you love it? What? I know. Do you want to paint my face? Okay, maybe later. Okay, you may make your way back. Oh, I forgot the little, okay. There you go. Okay. There you go. Lovely! Yay! Mother Teresa was once asked, how do you measure your success? She said, the Lord never spoke of success. The Lord only spoke of love. So that will be my only sense of success. My skills are obviously not great, but your faces are painted out of love. Let's read 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we've loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God if we love one another. God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given of us the Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. And so God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love of God has for us. And God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not reached perfection. We love because he first loved us. And those who say, I love God, and hate a brother or hate a sister are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God who they have not. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and their sisters also. There are some scriptures that have wonderful stories, and we love those stories, and they've got beautiful details that we can follow and hold on to and relate to. This scripture is not one of them. This is one of those scriptures that feels convoluted. It feels burdensome because of all the words. It is so easy to get lost in this scripture just because of the nature of it. Some people feel like, some theologians have said, that this scripture is a part of a hymn, that there's a cadence to it or a rhythm to it. I have to tell you, I don't think so at all. I think if we were to sing one of these hymns, it would be one of them that we said, you know what, we should never sing that again because it's terrible. Other people have said that this is a part of an exhortation, that this is lifted from one of John's sermons or messages just to put in there. However you feel about the text, whatever your opinion is or your view is, all people agree that there are three basic facts of this scripture. Love is from God. The Holy Spirit in us is proof of that love. And that love eliminates fear. And it is for that reason that people don't like the text, because to talk about God's love is way too mushy. We don't want to talk about God's love. We want to talk about God that is powerful. We want to talk about a God that is all-knowing and all-seeing and all-fixing. We want to talk about a God that is controllable with laws. We want to talk about a God that is going to seek revenge and judgment at the end. We don't want to talk about a God that is mushy and loving. We sometimes use love almost like a power play. Have you ever known anyone to use love like a carrot and they dangle it in front of you? To say, well, only if you do this, or if you behave this way, or if you look like this, or say this. They hold love out there as if it's some prize to be won and attained. We've done this as individuals, but then we also have done this as systems, as large systems. We've built hierarchies and structures, and we have tiered people on them. A Baptist minister once said, God's love is like an Amazon river that flows only to water one daisy. I am here to tell you the one that God's love waters is never the one we want. I don't know if you know this, but as a denomination, the United Methodist Church, they are meeting this week. It's a pretty important meeting. We've been waiting for this meeting for 4 years. And however you believe, whatever you think, if you think the United Methodist Church as a denomination is full of wonderful stories and details that you love, or if you believe that it is convoluted and it gets lost in the wording, however you believe, the truth remains that they are meeting to discuss the love of people. Who's in and who's out, who can and who cannot. All eyes are on the denomination of the United Methodist Church to see how they will witness to God's love. I turned it on a few times actually this past week. And I had the pleasure of getting to listen to multiple people. But one of the voices that stuck with me, it was a pastor from Sierra Leone. And the pastor from Sierra Leone said, "I come from a church where people disagree." I was like, "Oh, that's horrible. How sad. None of us disagree with one another, right?" That's a joke. Thank you. He was talking about how in his church, people disagree with one another. But before every conversation, before every meeting they have, they start with the basic facts in front of them. And he said, because we start with basic facts, everything flows from that. And he said, we have beautifully dissenting views because we believe in the facts first. What would it be like if we started every conversation, every meeting, every relationship with the basic facts? That love is from God. The Spirit in us is proof of that love. And that love eliminates fear. One thing that every theologian has agreed on with this text is that it's dangerous. That caution tape should be wrapped around it. Because they said if people really understood what it said, they would have to acknowledge that people are not the source of love. God is. We are the vehicle. We are the catalyst. We are the proof, not the source. And if people understood that, they would have to change their lives. And that's dangerous. There was a woman. She was 22 years old. And she was a wife. She was a mother. And she was a Christian. But she was a Christian during a time when it was not okay to be Christian. And her family begged her, denounce your faith. Don't say that out loud. Stop it. You cannot be Christian anymore in public. And to prove her point, she pointed to the family's water jug. And she said, "Do you see that pot over there? What do you call that pot?" And the family said, "That's our water jug. It always has been, it always will be. That's our water jug." And she said, "Just like that, you cannot call by any name than it is. I cannot call myself by anything other than what I am." The day that she died, she looked at her family and she said, "Stand fast in the faith and love people." Her name was Perpetua, and she became one of our third century martyrs. To become a martyr, it literally means to bear witness. And to be a witness, now that is a dangerous word, isn't it? That's something none of us want to be. One of those witness people, one of those evangelists. Oh, that's terrible. I remember in grad school, we did not want to be evangelists, none of us. If you talked to us about witnessing and evangelizing, we would say, "Not us. That's not who we are." And so, of course, we had to take a class called evangelism. It was required. You had to do it, so we all did. As soon as we walked into class, our worst nightmares came true. The professor said, "You have one assignment and one assignment only of this class. You will spend every week outside evangelizing. I'm going to divide you into groups. You're going to have a group project, and every week you will evangelize instead of coming to class. And the very last week, you will come, present yourselves, and I will grade you." We broke into our different groups. I had my group. None of us were really excited about it, so I said, "Look, I have the perfect plan. I work at a soup kitchen. Every week, all we have to do is come to the soup kitchen and we'll just eat lunch with people. We won't have to do anything else." And everybody said, "Sold. That's great." So, once a week for all those months, we just ate with people thinking we were great. And we actually really liked it. because we got to know people. We got to know people by their names. We got to know what's going on with them. We got to see their lives, and they got to see our lives. The last week of class comes, and we all have to go in and present ourselves. First group comes in and says, oh, what we did for our project is we mapped out the entire area of Nashville. And they said, every single week we have been present on a different street corner. And so over the course of this semester, we have seen every street corner in Nashville, and we have been screaming and making posters at cars telling everyone about Jesus. It's been wonderful. We have been evangelizing through screaming on the streets. And our professor said, great job, you get an A. Second group comes and says, oh, we have designed the best tract there is. We have partnered with other theologians. We've partnered with graphic artists. We have designed this beautiful piece of paper that as you move into it, tells you more and more about why you need God. It's a beautiful tract. And they said, we have personally, every single week, visited every restaurant in downtown Nashville to make sure we pass them out. And the professor says, oh, that is fantastic. You get an A. It was our turn. We presented our project. I stood up and I said, well, we have eaten lunch every week. What? Did you do anything else? Nope, just ate lunch. Did you serve people lunch? Nope, didn't even serve people the lunch. We actually went through the service line and had people serve us. And then we sat down and we ate with people. The professor says, great job. You get an A. And as soon as he said that, there was an uproar with everyone. They stood up and they said, that is so not fair. You didn't do anything. You literally just ate for free every week. That is not fair. And the professor said, to know the love of God is to witness to it. What's not fair is not to do anything. What's not fair is not to do anything. So I ask you, Chapel Roswell, what will be our group project? What will be our marker of success? When all eyes are on us, how will it look that we're witnessing to God's love? One of the many ways, is through this beautiful tent. This is one of our group projects. This is how we look at Alive in Roswell. Once a month, in the downtown area of Roswell, on Canton Street, this is what it looks like. So when we say, come join us at Alive in Roswell, we're talking about come witness with us, come evangelize with us, come love people with us. And what will happen is you'll talk to people. You'll give away stickers and random highlighters and random other things, whatever Arturo and Tyler put on the table. And you know what you'll do? You'll pet dogs that come and have water, and you'll get to know people. And it's quite lovely. And you'll get to know their names, and you'll get a glimpse into their life, and they'll get a glimpse into yours. You know what else we do? We do things like Field Day. Field Day was amazing, nicely done. It came out of one of our Sunday school classes, and we had kids and adults everywhere. And you know what it was? It was an expression of love. That is success. And no one was asked what or how or why. They were just invited. There was a Catholic priest who said, the way you love people will leave a mark on them. And so I ask, what mark will you leave on the faces in front of you? There are so many ways to support our church, to support the congregation, to support this place of community. And one of the ways is through your giving. And so in addition to your time, in addition to your presence in different ways, we invite you to give. And those are the ways that you can do it. At this time, I also invite you to give your prayers to our church. And so let's pray together. Gracious and holy Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the gifts that you've given each of us, and we thank you for our appreciation in it, for the people that are in our lives through these years that have shown us unconditional, undeserving love that looks like yours. We say thank you, but now may we be those people for others. May we welcome people in our lives. May we show them your grace. May we show them your acceptance. May we show them forgiveness. Because how we treat the person in front of us, we know is a direct reflection of our belief in you. And so may it be good. We also pray, Lord, for the things that scare us. If there are things that are worrisome, if there are things that make us uncertain, help us to ask more questions. Help us to learn more. Help us to understand our place in those things. And give us a clarity and a wisdom that as we go through this week, we find opportunities to be more engaging with people. Lord, be with those who are healing from surgery. Help their bodies mend. And help their minds be patient with themselves. Be with their families. May they have the initiative to help, but also know when to give them rest. May we be with the big weeks that we have ahead of us. May we just take one thing at a time, and may we find gratitude in the thing that makes us the most worried. And Lord, be in all of the celebrations ahead of us. Be in the excitement around us. And no matter what we face, may we remember that your love is like painting a heart on the face of a child. That your love is like forgiving someone who may have hurt us. And that your love is like telling a story together. And your love is like inviting a friend over. And your love is shown in every way. So may we be part of the waters that flow to all people. Amen. I would invite you two now to stand. We're going to sing our last song that is beautiful and not hard to sing with. And I would also invite you, if there are things on this table that you want that you don't have, come and get it. You can crawl up right here, or you can go the back steps and you can just come and take whatever you want on the table. Also, for all my volunteers, if you want a heart, because that's all I really know how to do, if you want a heart face painted on your face, I will be right here and I'll be painting faces through the whole song. So come and join me.